Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, King Chitraketu meets the Lord, text number 39. Kama diyas twayi rachita na parama rohanti yata karambha bijani gyanatmani gunamaye Gunagata ganato asya dvandva jalani kamadiyas tvayi rachita na parama rohita na parama rohanti yata karamba vijani Gyanatmanya gunamaye Gunaganatosya dvanvajalani Tamadiya desires the sense gratification. Twayi in you. Rachita perform. Na Parama, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rohanti, do grow. Produce other bodies. Yata, just as. Karamba Vijani, sterilize of fried seeds. Jnana Atmani, in you, whose existence is in full knowledge. Agunamaye, who is not affected by the material qualities. Gunaganataha, from the material qualities. Asya, of a person. Dvandva jalani, the networks of duality. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Supreme Lord, if persons obsessed with material desires for sense gratification through material opulence worship you, who are the source of all knowledge and are transcendental to material qualities, they are not subject to material rebirth, just as sterilized or fried seeds do not produce plants. Living entities are subjected to the repetition of birth and death because they are conditioned by material nature. But since you are transcendental, one who is inclined to associate with you in transcendence escapes the conditions of material nature. Purport. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, wherein the Lord says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyakvadeham punarjanma naitimam eti sarjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but obtains my eternal abode, or Arjuna. If one simply engages in Krishna consciousness to understand Krishna, he surely becomes immune to the process of repeated birth and death. As clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Tyaktva Deham Punarjanma Naiti. Such a person, simply by engaging in Krishna consciousness or understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, becomes quite fit to return home back to Godhead. Even those who are obsessed with material desires may also come to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead so steadily that they go back to Godhead. The fact is that if one comes to Krishna consciousness, although he may have many material desires, he becomes increasingly attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna through associating with the Supreme Lord by chanting His holy name. The Supreme Lord and His holy name are identical. Thus he becomes uninterested in attachment to material enjoyment. The perfection of life is to be uninterested in material enjoyment and interested in Krishna. If one comes to Krishna consciousness, somehow or another, even for material gain, the result is that he will be liberated. Kamat dvesha dvayat snehat. Whether for the satisfaction of material desires, because of the influence of envy, because of fear, because of affection, or because of any other reason, one comes to Krishna, his life is successful. Kamadiya swai rachita na paramarohanti yata karamba vijani janatmanyaguna maye gunaguna ganatosya dvanvijalani. O Supreme Lord, if a person obsessed with material desires to sense gratification through material opulence worships you, who are the source of all knowledge and are transcendental to material qualities, they are not subject to material rebirth, just as sterilized or fried seeds cannot produce plants. Living entities are subjected to the repetition of birth and death because they are conditioned by material nature. But since you are transcendental, one who is inclined to associate with you in transcendence escapes the conditions of material nature. Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Shunivadi Paskatya De Sitarne. This describes the process of sadhana bhakti. It's understood that when one comes to devotional service in the beginning, Chatur Vida Vajanta Imam Jnana Sri Kritina Arjuna Artha Chignasa Artati Jnani Cha Bharatara Shiva. That one who's pious, he'll take the devotional service under different circumstances. When he's distressed, when he's in want of security or money, when he's inquisitive, and if he has some inclination to try to understand what is the absolute truth, he takes to the process of devotional service to fulfill his objectives. So especially the first three, those who are distressed, those who want material security, and those who are inquisitive, they have some material aspirations. But if they take sincerely to the process of devotional service, when they realize the higher taste of serving Krishna, then gradually their material aspirations diminish as their spiritual realization increases. No one who's in conditioned life can actually understand what is the experience of transcendence, because that's what conditioned life means. That one is principally in the mode of ignorance, and therefore his experience is limited to gross and bodily sensual experience. But as it says, we read the other day in the Bhagavad Gita, that the devotional service is an arousing of spiritual life even while one is conditioned in the material world. Everything depends upon one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which in every respect helps one control the mind and senses, and remaining in Krishna consciousness by controlling the above-mentioned passions, one remains factually in the state of Brahma Nirvana or transcendence. So the duties of Krishna consciousness, which focus primarily on the inspiring us to chant the holy name of Krishna, which is the means by which we can enter into association with Krishna. Namas Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purno Shudyo Nitya. We'll start over here. Namas Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Shudyo Nityam Mukta Yukto Dinatva Nama Namino Purno. Yeah, Purno Shudyo Nityam Yukto Dinatvat Nama Namino. So Dinat Nama Namino means that Krishna and his name are identical. That when we chant Krishna's name, if we actually chant Krishna's name, then the result is that we have the opportunity to associate with Krishna. So Krishna's name means not only some letters of the alphabet, but it also means Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's loving exchanges with his devotees. This is what actually Krishna's name means. So when we chant the holy name, and within our heart we see we're actually in the spiritual world with Krishna, then we can understand we've begun to chant the holy name. Of course, practice makes better. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has explained to us that when we chant the holy name with some faith, then it buys the right to chant the holy name. So in the beginning, because we have some faith that this is nice, therefore we try and chant the holy name. Of course, as we've explained before, sometimes our chanting comes out a little differently, like shnik, shnik, ram, ram, day, 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 day. Or things like, hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty. So sometimes we're not perfect in our chanting. But if by some good fortune we get some experience by chanting, and we chant Krishna's name and just listen, then we see at once there's the alleviation from all kinds of material anxiety and suffering, all kinds of thoughts, because it's our attachment to material thoughts that cause our suffering. The thoughts themselves are not the causes of suffering. It's our attachment to the thoughts that cause our suffering. Therefore, if we become attached to the thoughts about Krishna, automatically we'll become detached from material thoughts. So just trying to give up thoughts will generally mean that we'll simply think about it all day long about how we're trying to give up thoughts. I remember before I joined the movement, I was trying to meditate. And I thought meditation meant to give up thoughts. But I'd be meditating, thinking about how I've just given up thoughts, and I'd be thinking of that. And then when I give that up, I think about how I'm not thinking, but there's so much noise around here. So it is not possible for the conditioned soul to give up thinking, and besides that, there are so many distractions. But if one becomes attached to Krishna, then naturally he'll become detached from material conceptions, because he'll see everything in its relationship to Krishna. Even one remembers his past, if one is Krishna conscious, then he'll see it in relationship to Krishna, rather than relationship to his previous sensual and mental speculations. So if we learn to chant, then at the beginning we need some faith. We need some faith. Therefore, it's recommended that we come to class and we hear about the process of devotional service so that we become inspired to at least chant Hare Krishna. As we can see, that those who have given up the process of chanting Hare Krishna, generally they give up devotional service entirely. Gradually they drift away and no one knows where they are anymore. But on the other hand, if one chants the holy name, then naturally he'll be inspired to want to understand how to chant better, how to get the maximum benefit from chanting the holy name. And therefore, by hearing Sambandha again, his faith develops, his knowledge develops, his practical understanding of what to do with this body, what to do with this mind, how to engage himself in such a way, is that gradually his chanting becomes purified. In the beginning, we're trying to chant and just listen. So that's quite difficult because there's so many thoughts that will pop into the mind, and generally most of them, Maya knows exactly what thoughts to pop into our mind that we'll become attached to and we'll become distracted from simply chanting and listening. But as we become purified by devotional service, gradually less thoughts will just pop into the mind, and even if they do, we won't be so distracted by them that we'll forget to go on chanting and listening. And then, when one is more elevated at the stage of nishta, every time he chants Krishna's name, automatically he remembers Krishna's form. It's not that we have to make a separate effort. Just like we've given the example before, that if we chant the name, the famous name of Mickey Mouse. So everyone has anyone here not heard of Mickey Mouse? I think he's probably one of the most famous personalities. He has the opulence of fame. But it's false prestige because he doesn't really exist. Jai, Shishi, Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. In any case, if we chant his name, there used to be a fan club called the Mickey Mouse Fan Club. And they used to chant. They had to chant so many names of Mickey Mouse a day. So naturally, if we chant his name, we'll remember Big Ears, his funny nose, his big tail, etc. So this chanting and remembering forms is natural for us, but by chanting Krishna's name, gradually one will evolve to the platform where somehow or another he remembers some form of Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada was very much interested in deity, that we have deity worship, because this is a form of Krishna that we can remember when we chant his name. Prabhupada also wanted so many artists to paint pictures of Krishna's pastimes. So in this way, we'd have some form of Krishna to meditate, to remember when we're chanting his name. But not that we're artificially trying to remember these forms, thinking that the form is separate from the name. But the name contains within it the form. And then if we chant attentively, and especially if we chant with some feeling, naturally remembrances will come of Krishna's forms. And this is achieved at the state of nishtha. Or on the other hand, if one chants so nicely that he remembers Krishna's form when he chants, then he comes immediately to the state of nishtha, or steady devotional service. And then if we chant so nicely that he feels Krishna's qualities, because Krishna consciousness is not simply an intellectual activity. It is also a feeling activity, but feeling first comes attentiveness. Just like if you want to love someone, first you have to be a little attentive to them. There's no question of love if you're not even conscious of them. Sometimes the analogy is given that people say, "I love God," but they don't even know what God looks like. In the same way, if you said, "I love someone, I love this beautiful girl, but I don't really know what she looks like. I don't really know what her name is quite exactly. I don't know where she lives. I don't really know anything about her, but somehow or another, I fell madly in love with her and I can't forget her, whoever she is." So similarly, unless one pays attention to Krishna, then there is no possibility of developing feeling for him. So similarly, we cannot feel the holy name and in the presence of the holy name unless we first become attentive to hearing the holy name. But when one becomes to the platform of consciousness of the holy name, of attentiveness, then he can develop feeling. He can feel the presence of Krishna in his holy name, and he can realize Krishna's qualities. Not just as an intellectual exercise, but as a feeling exercise. Just like the activities of the mind begin with thinking, but they don't stop there, they go to feeling. So, when one becomes to the platform of feeling, he comes to the platform of ruchi, or taste. He can actually taste the qualities of the holy name, and when his attention becomes fixed in service to Krishna and the holy name, then he comes to the platform of asakti, or attachment. And from that, pure feelings develop, unalloyed feelings of the state of bhava, which mature in prema. Or when one can actually chant and remember Krishna's pastimes, then he comes to the not only Krishna's pastimes, but that means that it includes Krishna's form, Krishna's quality, and Krishna's pastimes. He comes to the platform of asakti. And when he chants and can remember Krishna's feelings, loving exchanges with his devotees, he comes to the platform of bhava. So our transcendental emotions and awareness are not independent of our ability to chant the holy name purely. It is not that outside of chanting purely that we'll develop awareness of Krishna, real awareness, or we'll develop real feeling towards Krishna, real awareness of Krishna's exchanges with his devotees. So here it mentions that, especially in the beginning, there'll be so many material desires. It is not that we can come to devotional service and cultivate these desires. Although they may be there, still one has to tolerate them. Of course, there'll be material objectives, and even within the process, even within the association of devotees, to some extent we may try to fulfill these material objectives. And then they'll become spiritualized. One time I was told that one devotee said, "Prabhupada, this devotee is very ambitious." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, very nice." Because if one is ambitious in some, of course, if one has unrestricted material ambition, he does his activities to fulfill his material ambitions, then the result is that he'll eventually disrupt his own service and disrupt others also. But all material qualities can also be, practically speaking, most material qualities can be dovetailed and utilized in Krishna's service. So if one is intelligent enough to understand that Krishna is the objective, although one may be somewhat bewildered by material thoughts and impelled by material desires, still, if he can tolerate them and try to utilize his material propensities, his material qualities in Krishna's service, then they become spiritualized. The example is, when Krishna was in Mathura, there is one washerman, and Krishna requested from him, please give me those nice clothes. But the washerman, because he was a demon, due to his association with Kamsa, immediately began to criticize Krishna and Balaram, saying, my dear boys, that you should not ask the things of the king, or else it's assured that the king's servants will come and chastise you. I have personal experience of this, but I'm very magnanimous, therefore I'll forget about this. But don't ask for the things of the king in the future. So Krishna, he did not take these instructions very lightly. He immediately separated the washerman's head from his body with his hand, and then took the clothes anyhow, because he didn't know that everything belonged to Krishna, and that such talk was sinful. On the other hand, others presented Krishna, just like Sudama presented Krishna, the florist, he presented Krishna nice garlands, and he received all kinds of benedictions. Another tailor also made nice clothes for Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys, and therefore he received all kinds of benedictions. So though we may be in the conditional state of life, if we simply agree to somehow or another utilize the energies of Krishna in his service, then Krishna will give us all kinds of benedictions. And the real benediction is to make progress in chanting the holy name. Because by such progress, one actually comes to associate with Krishna progressively more intimately. And by such intimate association with Krishna, then the path of Krishna consciousness becomes progressively more enlightening and encouraging. It is not anything else that will make the process of Krishna consciousness more enlightening and encouraging. If we think that by some material progression, by achieving freedom from anxiety, or obtaining freedom, material security, or answering all my questions, then this will make everything very nice and secure for me, very happy. Will not. It may bring one to the platform of freedom from material suffering, or enlightenment about our spiritual identity, but unless one comes to love Krishna and becomes aware of Krishna, one will always feel insecure and unfulfilled. That even the souls in Brahman, they're not quite satisfied. They're not quite secure because they may drop out of Brahman at any moment. On the other hand, those who are actually developing their relationship with Krishna, they progressively develop that relationship eternally, and it becomes ever more satisfying and enlightening. That even when Krishna was dancing with the cowherd girls in the Rasa dance, as the cowherd girls were praising Krishna, they became progressively more enlightened and aware of his qualities. And as Krishna was praising the cowherd girls, he also became aware of their qualities and became aware, enlightened about their divine attributes. So in this way, this is an eternal process, and the more we accept this process, then the more we become progressively spiritualized. And the more we become progressively spiritualized, then the less we become attached to our material conceptions of life. Therefore, Dhruva Maharaj, although he went for a big objective, he wanted to get a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, but because he took up the instructions of Narada Muni, then by some transcendental trickery, he became purified so much so that when Lord Narayan came to him and offered him all kinds of benedictions, offered him a kingdom greater than his grandfather, he said, Swaram and Kritarto Navaram Najet, that I wanted some broken pieces of glass, but now these things are very insignificant to me. because I found a diamond like you. That the heart, if one gains Krishna, then one's heart becomes satisfied. But if one gains anything else, then one will simply hanker for more and more, more and more things. Only if one actually develops his relationship with Krishna, and in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the process of chanting the holy name. But the chanting of the holy name has to be done with some quality, and that's what, and Srila Prabhupada has established this movement, basically, that one develops that quality by following the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had some internal reasons for coming to understand Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, although he is Krishna, the feelings of Krishna, the feelings of Krishna's devotees. But he did this, he himself accomplished this by executing the Sankirtan mission. So the Sankirtan mission is not separate from our ability to enter into the holy name. So the Sankirtan mission means, at least especially for those who are in temples in the cities, it means to preach Krishna consciousness. We have no other objective than to glorify Krishna, either by distributing his books, or by assisting the book distributors, or by manifesting within the books. There's nothing apart from Prabhupada's books. And even if one lives in the country, although our movement has not been so successful in this regard, we have to manifest what's in the books by showing practical examples of how one can be satisfied living simply in Krishna consciousness. That we have to show that there's no need for material opulence to be satisfied. That one can be satisfied simply by chanting the holy name and obtaining the basic necessities of life. And in the cities, although we may have to accept so much material opulence for preaching, we also have to show how by chanting the holy name one can dedicate all these material opulences in preaching and glorifying Krishna. So these two things. And the only way to actually do that is to obtain some kind of taste, both for the activities of devotional service, namely preaching, especially book distribution, and assisting book distribution, and bringing people to the temple, and giving them transcendental experience through deity worship, through Mahaprasadam, and teaching people the importance of chanting the holy name in this age. Because it's by chanting the holy name we get the intelligence to understand these books, and by chanting the holy name we have the opportunity to realize these books through entering into the holy name. So the holy name is all important in this age, and preaching about the holy name will give us the understanding of the importance of the holy name, and we have to chant the holy name also. So if we try and chant the holy name and try to understand it through the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then gradually we'll get his mercy and we'll be able to associate with Krishna through service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his movement. And then whatever material desires we have, they'll be, as it says here, they become burnt and therefore they don't produce any reaction. Just like seeds that are fried will not sow any plant. So although the material desires may be situated in our heart, if we engage in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, they won't manifest themselves in terms of material reactions, which will bind us to the material world. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes? Why not? No, any kind of deity worship. Somehow or another, serve the deity. The pujari, he has the advantage is that he's constantly seeing the deity. But anyone who's attending the arti, he also can see the deity. I mean, what is it? So what is the mystical thing about waving a stick of incense? You can wave a stick of incense anywhere, you don't become purified. Or a ghee lamp or anything else. We're doing it because by doing it to please Krishna, then we become conscious of Krishna, actually conscious. Therefore, we offer Krishna something because this is what it actually means to be conscious of the person. Service to them. So similarly, anyone watching the offering, they can also see Krishna and the other deities and become conscious of Krishna. And if someone's sweeping the temple, They can think of Krishna, how they're doing it for Krishna, and that way meditate upon Krishna. So bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvata. Any service done with some devotion, then Krishna reveals himself in proportion to the sincerity of the devotion. Well, that's what the books are all about. Chanting the holy name. Entering, that's that's what the books are all about. Chanting the holy name. Entering, that's the basic. Harinam is Krishna. That's all the books are about, is Krishna. So Prabhupada, at the beginning, we used to do Harinam, and along with that, we used to chant the holy name. We used to have people doing Harinam, and alongside of them, they would be distributing back to Godhead magazine. So Prabhupada liked that. But then he said that better kirtan was the book distribution. But he never expected us to give up chanting the holy name. Or even going out in public and chanting. So that should be done regularly. But also book distribution, he stressed, is the more important kirtan. Well, we shouldn't give up chanting the holy name, because that's what the books are all about in this age. That one realizes Krishna through congregational chanting. We can see how difficult it is for us when we're chanting japa to pay attention, but how much easier it is when we chant congregationally. So that's the primary process. Yeah, that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakura said. That if we go out and we chant the holy name, then people will develop faith, and therefore they'll be able to understand what's in the books. But if we just distribute books, people won't know what the books are about, because they won't see any example. So chanting the holy name inspires faith, and with that faith one becomes qualified to hear transcendental knowledge. Well, perfect means better than we did 5 minutes ago. More perfect. In other words, it's not that we have one or two desires. We have quite a number of desires. Some of them are stronger than others. They've been cultivated for longer periods of time, more intensely. Others, not so much. So simply, our progress in Krishna consciousness means to gradually give up some of them, a few of them at a time, or one of them at a time, and therefore gradually gain the capacity to become a little bit more attentive. So as we give up our material desires, which is, there are many, some of them are more subtle, and some of them, there are four different types of material seeds: sinful reaction, lying as the seed, those which are reacting now upon us, those which will react in the future, those which are stored up. There are different types of material desires. And gradually, by increasing our determination to hear nicely and becoming detached from other previous thoughts or conceptions, then gradually we can become purified. So just to summarize again, perfect means to be a little bit better than we were before. Gradually we can become perfect. What kind of nonsense philosophy is that? Mostly people who have left the movement, they say like that. I didn't really leave because of my free will. I was forced to serve my material desire. No, we have free will. There's no material desire that we have to serve. Just like if you run up to a tree and you grab hold of it and you say, let me go, let me go. But the tree hasn't grabbed you, you're holding onto the tree. So it's not material desires that take us out of the movement, it's our attachment to the material desires. So we're not forced to be attached to anything. We can always become attached to Krishna. So there's nothing, if we take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna will free us from material attachment. Therefore it says, Daivi yeshu gunamayi, mama maya dharatiya, mam eva ye prapajante, mayam etam tarantite. So we believe Krishna, he says, this divine energy of mine is working under my protection, under my direction. And therefore, if one surrenders to him, to Krishna, then one can easily cross beyond it. So if we turn our attachment to Krishna, any kind of attachment we have will be to material energy, although it's very powerful, will be dissipated. Krishna, according to Krishna, at least, he says, as we read yesterday, he says, Raga, Vita Raga Baya Krodha Manmaya Mamupashitya. He says, Bahavo Jnana Tapasa. That Bahavo, many persons in the past have become purified by this knowledge of me. Thus they obtain transcendental love for me. So Krishna doesn't say, many people came, they tried, but they all blooped. You can try too, but I think you're bloop too. He doesn't say like that. We always have our free will, but when we commit offenses, that's the misuse of our free will. Of course, the more one is in ignorance due to perhaps offenses, then the less he's able to understand how to properly utilize his free will. Just like if you told a common person in the street that your only free will is either you identify yourself with your body or you identify yourself as Krishna's servant and serve him, they'll think you're crazy. They think my free will is whether they take Camel cigarettes or Marlboro. Only a person who has some knowledge can understand what is free will, and they'll have some idea of how to properly utilize it. So the more knowledge he has, the more free will, the more he'll have an opportunity to properly utilize his free will. He says, you give it up, just like Daksha. He saw Vishnu. He became so overwhelmed after offering prayers to Vishnu with ecstasy, he had to sit down on the ground. And then Vishnu came and said, all right, what would you like? He said, I want unlimited sex life. And then after having unlimited sex life, producing 10,000 children here, 10,000 there, then he wound up offending Narada Muni. So, although we may experience love and ecstasy, but we can give that up at any moment. He told Amoga to get up, so Amoga obeyed him and got up. He was offensive, but everyone's offensive. It wasn't that, look at Amoga, he's really offensive. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming to deliver the fallen of this age. They just have to agree to be delivered. So Amoga, he wasn't an ordinary person. He's the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Sati, his wife. That's not an ordinary thing, to be in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So if somehow or another we can get him engaged in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, then we'll also become purified. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to enter into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. But first we have to understand what the pastime is. What is this pastime? Otherwise, our body may be here, but our minds may be in some other pastime, which may not be spiritual. Anything else? Yes. It certainly is. Prabhupada once wrote to Ramaswarapuru, he said that, or Ramaswarapuru wrote to Prabhupada, he said that this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, in the same way that the gopis, they try, Srimati Radharani, this is not what he said, but Srimati Radharani, she thinks herself most insignificant. So she's always most happy when she engages the other gopis in Krishna's service. And the other gopis are always trying to engage the other gopis in Krishna's service. So similarly, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes of engaging people, bringing them to Krishna to engage in his service. So this is in the mood of the gopis, engaging others in Krishna's service. That's book distribution. Is that clear? This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime of engaging others in Krishna's service. So that's basically what we're trying to do. By distributing books, is to introduce people, other conditioned souls, to Krishna. Is that clear? We're trying to develop that mood. And the practical way of doing it is by distributing these books somehow or another. The best thing is to give a book, but also we're trying to distribute the information in the book and live according to the books. That's also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. Not that I can be in any mood and any consciousness and distribute the books and think I'm a gopi now. I'm a gopi, I'm transcendental, therefore I can engage in any kind of nonsensical thoughts or activities, and it's all covered by the fact that I'm a gopi. It's all divine. No, we're trying to enter into that mood of the gopis, both by distributing the books and also by practicing what's in the books and trying to understand them. But that's basically what the mood we're trying to cultivate. Not that we're trying to become the most expert salesmen or women, gain control over of others, learn how to manipulate them, swing them around, get them to empty their pockets. We're trying to develop the mood of compassion that this person is actually Krishna's servant, but now he's identifying himself as a servant of his material body and mind, and therefore he's suffering. But if he gets one of these books and reads it, he'll associate with Krishna and become free from all these misconceptions and eventually develop his relationship with Krishna and go back to the spiritual world. That's basically why we give people books. Yeah.
What about the philosophy from, well, I just think you should have brought the books and distributing directly this way, but all the other devotees, I can't associate with, I don't need them either because I just took the Prabhupada's books as many times.
The highest what? Yeah, but that also what distributing Prabhupada's books means that one should also enter into the mood of Prabhupada's books. Not that we're simply distributing them and that's it, and then I can do something else other than what's in the books. We also have to live according to the books, or else our time of distributing the books will be somewhat limited. Of course, if you could be out 24 hours a day just distributing the books, you probably wouldn't need anything else. But we're not like that. We don't just distribute the books. We also have to associate with other devotees, because that's the only way we'll be inspired to distribute the books. Inspired to distribute Time magazine. And they sell a lot of Time magazines. But that doesn't mean they're in Krishna consciousness, just because they're inspired to distribute Time magazine. So we're just distributing books, but we don't know what's in the books, and we don't enter into the mood of the books, then we'll eventually give up distributing the books. Because it's not just the book is sacred. The book is sacred, of course. But if we think it's mundane, it's just a mundane book, then we'll give up distributing it. Or at least not for a spiritual reason. So one also has to develop a spiritual consciousness. And if we reject the other devotees, then ultimately we'll reject Krishna and book distribution too. Because that's what the books are all about, glorifying Krishna and his devotees. If you look at the Bhagavatam, that's all it is. It's the glorification of Krishna. And Krishna, even more than glorifying himself, in the books he glorifies his devotees. And if we don't think that's very important, then we won't think the books are very important either. If you take out Prahlad Maharaj, you take out Lord Shiva, you take out the gopis, you take out the coward boys, you take out all the Krishna's, the 12 Mahajans and all Krishna's devotees from the book, what do you have left? Even Krishna will go away. He doesn't have his devotees. You won't have anything. You'll just have some crazy conditioned soul left. No, because association with devotees comes second. Faith comes first. So one may have some faith due to some pious activities, but unless he associates with the devotees properly, he can't make advancement further. So there may be some association with Krishna, but if he wants to go further, he has to learn how to properly associate. So at the beginning, one is a Kanishta Adhikari. He has some faith in Krishna and maybe one or two devotees. But unless he comes to properly associate with the devotees, he can't advance to the Madhyama Adhikari platform, where he actually enjoys the association of other devotees, knows how to treat innocent people and avoid those who are atheistic. So there's always the possibility that he'll fall away very easily, either by association with materialists or by offenses to the devotees. So, although when they, by some mercy, be able to maintain a platform of faith for some period of time, unless he comes to associate with the devotees, his faith won't develop beyond that. Well, if we try and see the good qualities of the devotees, it makes it a lot easier. If we simply look and see how they're not, look at that, you know, this devotee, Murari Chaitanya Das, he was underneath the water for 3 days, you know, and he used to, chanting Hare Krishna, and he used to go into the forest and put feminine serpents on his lap and slap the faces of tigers and simply laugh and chant Hare Krishna. Are you on this level? You're not. Well, you're not a devotee. Why should I worship you? I mean, these are quite exalted devotees, but still, there are many, any devotee who's engaged in this mission of preaching or assisting the preaching in some way, they're also exalted. So we should try and see how there is probably rice in the nectar of instruction. We should not simply judge a person externally, but we should try and see how internally they're engaging in Krishna's service. But especially for a neophyte devotee, it's very dangerous to criticize another devotee. So we should try and appreciate what service they're rendering. Then we'll be able to appreciate them properly. And anyhow, if we associate with someone, we might as well try and get the best out of them, so to speak. So if we have a service attitude and we try and bring out the best qualities from the person, then we'll get the best experience in association. And if we associate with people due to our own envy and we try and bring out the worst from them, then that's what we'll get, is the worst. Like on Sankirtan, if you go up to someone and say, "Excuse me, sir, here's a nice book. Although you're rotten and fallen, you're disgusting. You smell like a cigar. You probably haven't taken a bath in a week. But still, I'm sure you'll appreciate this book." You know, just give everything you have because you're going to misuse it anyhow. I'm sure anyone you associate would probably benefit from this book because they're probably as rotten and fallen as you are. If you went up to people like that, you probably wouldn't bring out the best in them. Nor would you probably sell very many books. Instead, we go up to people, as Prabhupada Bodhananda Saraswati said, Nihatya, Patya, something like that, Trinakam, that my dear sir, holding a straw between my teeth, bowing down before you 1,000 times, yelling out, "O great Lord, O great person." So that is our mood. That's the mood we associate with ordinary people. But when we come back to the temple, we think, "Oh, now is my chance to be really." I've been out there, you know, glorifying the karmis and buttering them up and like that, and it's pretty blissful. But now let me go back to the temple. Now that I've been empowered, and tell the devotees where they're really at. You think you're a devotee? Ha! You have so many bad habits and, you know, you commit so many offenses and you don't respect the real devotee, me, the great preacher. So let me tell you where you're really at for your own purification. And if you don't accept it, then I'll tell you again, because that's just a symptom of the fact that you're a rascal. So if we treat the devotees in the same way we treat the karmis, we'll make a lot more advancement. If we're as careful with them as we are in Sankirtan. And Sankirtan, as soon as you meet someone, immediately begin to analyze who they are, where they've come from, what to say to them, what to do. So if we do the same thing with the devotees, we'll make a lot more advancement. Well, then go out and book distribution. Distribute some books door to door in the street somewhere. Make some. It doesn't mean that either I'm going to become a full-time book distributor or I'm not going to do it at all. So do it a little bit and you'll make advancement. Otherwise, to try to become more absorbed in our service may be difficult because of familiarity. But it's very difficult to become completely familiar with preaching, because there's so many circumstances, there are so many personalities, there are so many different factors that have to be taken into account to serve Krishna, that it forces us to rely upon Krishna more, and it forces us to come to a higher platform. But the routine work in the temple may seem kind of boring after some time, because we become familiar with it. And familiarity breeds contempt, and contempt means that we won't make any advancement, because it's only through appreciation of Krishna and his devotees and devotional service that we make any advancement. So, in preaching, it means that one has to practically rely upon Krishna, because there's so many adverse circumstances that one will face. And that reliance upon Krishna, Krishna reciprocates, and that way our appreciation develops. Therefore, if one thinks his service is somewhat stagnant, he has to preach. He has to get into a service which demands more, not which demands less. But that doesn't mean that service has to be his only service, but at least one has to get that taste. And whatever principles one will learn on Sankirtan, he can apply it to his routine work and other types of services too, which will make that service more enlivening. If you worship the deity, and before worshiping the deity, you thought, if any one of us thought, that I'm doing it just to please Krishna, and please let me do it very nicely, then Krishna will give us all intelligence how to do it in such a way that while we're worshiping the deity, Krishna would reveal himself more. He'd be exposed. Look, he's actually on the altar. That is Krishna. But because we think, well, here's, I got to do another RT, and it's cold, and I don't really want to, you know, it's just, you know, I have to do this and do that and wave the stick of incense and light this ghee lamp, and I don't know why I'm doing it for, but I was supposed to do it anyhow, and if I don't do it, then they'll get on my case. So I'll do it. So with that type of attitude, you know, I've been doing it, so this is my third RT today and I'm sick of it, but I got to do it anyhow. But so that type of attitude, Krishna doesn't reveal himself. But you don't find, you know, this is my third book, I've distributed so many books, I'm sick, I'm bored of the whole thing. I don't want to distribute any more books. So here's another person, he wants the book from me, I don't want to give it to him. Another dull, routine book going out. It's possible to develop that mentality. I mean, anything's possible. But it's much rarer to have that mentality, because it's so enlivening to distribute a book. It's so challenging. And Krishna supplies so much intelligence and reveals himself so much because of that. Because it demands more practical surrender. But one can, so by learning those principles, one can practically surrender in any service. Yeah, so at least we should associate with the devotees in a diplomatic way too. Diplomatic in the sense that we're trying to find some good quality of the person and bring that out. And that way encourage them to engage in Krishna's service. So at least we should do the same thing with the devotees. Not with the devotees that we, you know, we let it so-called all hang out, which are completely honest and straightforward, and blow them away every time we see them. We should, at best, at least we should be diplomatic. Then at least we won't be offensive. Diplomatic, not false. But at least we should try and see the good qualities in them and inspire them to engage in devotional service. Of course, they may not give us any money, and they, you know, we may not get any credit, you know, on the scoreboard, but that's not the purpose of book distribution either. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.